It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. By now, you've probably heard about the controversial Rolling Stone magazine cover story featuring Boston Marathon bombing suspect Jokhar Tsarnaev. The magazine is set to hit the racks today, but good luck trying to buy a copy of the magazine. The cover shows a glamorous photo of Tsarnaev that, if you didn't know better, seems no different than other Rolling Stone cover photos featuring the hottest rock stars rather than a young man accused of being a key figure in one of the worst acts of domestic terrorism in the history of the United States. Many have criticized Rolling Stone for creating a cover they say is in bad taste, and several stores, including Giant Eagle, are refusing to sell this particular issue of Rolling Stone, part of an economic backlash reported on earlier this week by CNN's Brian Todd.
The economic fallout started with America's second largest drugstore chain saying it won't put the August edition of Rolling Stone on its newsstands.
CVS was out front in the brushback toward Rolling Stone. The company wouldn't provide anyone for an interview, wouldn't let us film inside their stores. But in a statement, CVS said, as a company with deep roots in New England and a strong presence in Boston, it felt this was the right decision out of respect for the victims of the Boston Marathon bombings and their relatives.
CVS was joined in this temporary boycott by other big chains like Walgreens, as well as New England-based Stop and Shop grocery stores and Tedeschi food shops. Adweek senior editor Lucia Moses says that likely won't hurt Rolling Stone. She says only about 5% of Rolling Stone's sales are in retail outlets. If advertisers pull out, she says, that would hurt, but
usually when magazines or newspapers prepare to publish a controversial story that they think some advertisers might be bothered by, they let advertisers know in advance.
Joining us now by phone to discuss the controversy is Jeff Ritter, chair of La Roche College's Department of Communication, Media, and Technology. Jeff Ritter, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thanks a lot, Paul.
And if you'd like to join the conversation, share your comments and questions with us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. We'd like to know what you think of having the Boston Marathon bombing suspect Jokhar Tsarnaev on the cover. Do you think having Tsarnaev on the cover is in bad taste? Would you want to buy the issue? Should store owners be the ones to decide if a controversial issue of a magazine should be available for you to read? We'd like to hear from you again at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Jeff Ritter, what do you think of this Rolling Stone cover showing a good-looking young man who, if you didn't know better, if you didn't know who he was and what he did, you might think he doesn't look a whole lot different from other Rolling Stone cover figures.
Yeah, could be a singer-songwriter, a late-breaking youngster who just got his first album deal or something like that. And it is surprising that they did that. But I think one of the things that it's a sign of is a little bit of Rolling Stone returning to its roots, being a little bit edgy, pushing people's buttons. Like Hunter Thompson's journalism, where it's not quite what you expect and makes you think, and we're having this discussion, that may be exactly what they wanted to have happen, was people talk about it, people make a decision, what does this mean, is it significant, is it offensive, what is the place of photography. It's great there's a place for photography in our society, and it's not going to hurt sales at all. It's one of the great things for them, most likely. But I hope it gets people to read the article. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm glad to hear that people are talking about it.
Well, Jeff, when we spoke yesterday, you said that you thought Rolling Stone indeed knew what it was doing, that they knew this cover would cause controversy.
Yeah, I think companies of all kinds do these kinds of things, organizations, artists, celebrities, do all kinds of things to keep their names out there, to get people talking about them. Rolling Stone's had probably a bit of a dip in the last few years. People complained about it not being about music like it used to be, or having too much politics or too little politics. There's all kinds of issues with it. And circulation of magazines all over is suffering. So getting the name out there for lots of companies, organizations, and celebrities is, you know, PR person's job. And so this may be exactly what they wanted to have happen. And, you know, we fought for it. Well, we always have something to talk about.
Right. Well, but at the same time, there are people who are offended by this, and there are also victims who are and the families of the victims, people who had limbs blown off by the acts of what this young man allegedly perpetrated. And so if you were the editor of Rolling Stone, would you at all be concerned about that? And what, if anything, might you now be thinking you would do differently for this issue?
Well, they might. You know, they might have not expected this much of a negative backlash. They might apologize, but I wouldn't hold my breath waiting for it. I think the main thing they're going to say is read the article, read what we found out about him, read the investigative things, the way we exposed and discussed the person, their history, and think about it. This is what an average young man looks like who turned into a monster. And if you're thinking about that, that's what we wanted you to do. If people are offended, we're sorry, we didn't mean to it, do it. Something like that is likely to come out. But I don't think they're going to issue a full-fledged retraction or apology in any way. They're going to say, this is what we want. We want discussion. It's an open society, and we should be able to talk about these things. And this is what's going on, and that's their job.
Could it be, you know, as someone who, like yourself, who follows the media and looks at what motivates people to do certain things and what they may not always be mindful of, in this case, the editors of Rolling Stone, should they have maybe focused less so much on the bomber, as this cover states, and looked at or tried to tell this story by showing images of the carnage of the victims? Should they have juxtaposed the image of Tsarnaev with images of the victims who had their limbs blown off?
Well, that's, you know, that's an art director's and editorial decision maker. These the images that are in public domain that they can use, that they've, or images that they've bought that they can use, allow them to be expressive. And yeah, somebody else could do that. They don't have to. They can't do everything. If, you know, I fully understand somebody saying this is glamorizing a terrorist and I don't want to have any part of it, then don't buy it. You know, don't go to a store that has it. Cancel your subscription by all means if you want to do that. But in free speech, other people get to consume what you hate. And so that's out there for everybody. Let somebody else do it. I think a really interesting thing is what happened overnight is the other images that came out in Boston Magazine online. From a sergeant who, and this worked as a state trooper, who put out his photographs. Right, he put out state property photographs of him as he was being arrested. Have you seen these yet, Paul?
Well, yes, and I'm glad you brought this up because I believe there's going to be an investigation into why these photos were released. The motivation apparently was in response to the Rolling Stone cover, but there is perhaps some impropriety here.
It may be illegal. It may be these are evidentiary photographs. They weren't released officially, and they may be they would be prejudicial if a jury saw them. They may taint a jury by seeing those pictures. They can say the same thing for the Rolling Stone picture, but this is official state police property. He's in under investigation right now for it. But what I love about this is how fast moving things are. You could have a response to something overnight that gets a lot of controversy, and then somebody else who has access, even if it's illegal or maybe illegal, he says, I'm going to do it. It's going to get this out to the public, and of course, millions of people could see it in minutes after it's out there. And we've got something even more interesting to talk about. Now we've got a response, and only in the digital world of today do we have things that can move this quickly with responses from the public or people involved.
412-246-2002 is the number to call if you want to get in on the conversation with our guest, Jeff Ritter, who is chair of the La Roche College Department of Communication, Media, and Technology. Lots of folks wanting to talk to you and with you, Jeff, and we'll get to everybody. We'll start with Lynn in Allison Park. Lynn, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello.
Hi, Lynn. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good. Thank you. Good. And I enjoy your show, by the way.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Oh, are you ready for me to say the comment?
Yes, go ahead.
I agree with your speaker, Jeff, from LaRoche College. But the only thing is this, because I'm also in a degree of marketing, is I hope this issue bombs. He's right. They have every right to do what they want, the art director, and I'm not going to buy the issue because it does come down to everybody knows that the Rolling Stone cover is for somebody you want to idolize, and I do not want to idolize this gentleman. The article I heard is probably interesting. I'm not going to read the article because he's on the cover, and he's right. We do live, and I'm glad of the society that we lived in, but I have my choice too, and I'm not going to buy it. And what I would like to know is I'd love for someone to follow this issue and find out if it bombs.
Well, we'll make an allowance there for your choice of words, but with regard to what Lynn is asking, Jeff, I'm sure people will be following the sales of this. What is the likelihood that with all of this controversy, this issue is not going to do well selling on magazine racks throughout America?
Oh, well, I haven't really heard that much about it yet except for that you can get them on eBay. People have already picked them up as many as they can and are selling them on eBay thinking that there's going to be a shortage because they won't be available in some of the big stores. I don't know if that'll happen or not. It's hard to predict. I wouldn't say it's going to be any different than normal sales. Maybe a little higher would be my only guess.
Well, when stores, for example, you know, it's like the Band in Boston, which is another perhaps unfortunate coincidence of all this. But Boston used to be famous for having what were perceived as more puritanical laws that prevented certain things from getting on movie screens and into print. When something like this is, when there's a controversy, when there's a boycott, or when stores say, we're not going to sell this, does that pique people's curiosity and actually add to the desire for people to who have prurient interests or otherwise to want to see the magazine?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, you know, that we have a very commercial world that we live in, very capitalist. People accept that. People expect that organizations and companies are out for the bottom line. But every once in a while, these things come up where somebody says, no, we're not going to stand for this. We don't care if it's we're going to lose money or we're not going to make our usual. We're not doing it. A company wants to identify with a certain ethic or a certain level of propriety, and they put that out there. That's probably a smart move for some companies in some cases, and makes people feel better. Of course, brand awareness and feeling good about the brands you like is important for companies today. So it's probably smart for most of them to do that. On the other hand, for some people who might say, I don't really care what your company's views are about religion or about politics or other views. I want you to do a good job on the thing that you're doing that I'm paying for. And don't particularly care. I would guess that the American public is about 50-50 split on whether they care about those what companies' stands are on things. But one of the things that can happen is more and more we can get issue fatigue. If another thing happens overnight and next week again, where we have to decide whether or not we're going to shop at a certain store, eventually people lose interest in it. It doesn't have the same resonance it does the first couple of times in a season, and then after that people start to forget about it, or it just goes to, it gets smaller and smaller in people's consciousness. But this will be big for a little bit, I think, and important to some people and their views about stores.
412-246-2002 if you'd like to join our conversation about the controversial Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Boston bombing suspect Jokhar Tsarnaev. Let's go to Chris in Moon. Chris, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yeah, hi there. Thanks very much. I would agree with Mr. Ritter on the Hunter Thompson reference if it was, for example, Snowden on the cover. I mean, because Thompson was essentially shaking up squares over the Vietnam War by being pretty much a drug-addicted, gonzo journalist. Now, this is something totally different. I mean, the difference between terrorism and assassination is terrorism is designed to strike fear into the hearts of a whole group, a whole population, just because of who they are. And assassination is targeting a particular individual. And I think that this just This adds to it. This adds to the mystique. And yeah, they'll make money out of it, but and yeah, they're allowed to do it, but it's a bad idea.
Well, if this article is considered to be a well-written piece, does that then justify the cover? If this is done, Chris cited Hunter Thompson and Gonzo journalism. If this is done in the tradition of some of the stronger journalism that Rolling Stone has presented over the years, does the end justify the means, Jeff?
Well, I think time will tell. I couldn't tell you right now. I think it'll be is the real purpose of the whole thing of the article purpose to get us look at ourselves a little more closely. What are we producing? A person doesn't grow up in a vacuum. This is a combination of events on a global scale, really, but it also hits home in local areas where young people, you know, from Timothy McVeigh on, grow up in American society. And we've got to look at ourselves carefully about some of these things. And again, most of us haven't read the article yet, neither have I. So we're talking about it, but that's probably the main thing. And I agree. Hunter Thompson did push the boundaries of journalism, and that may be what they were talking about here. Not the boundaries of journalism, but pushing the boundaries of the way we think about what's going on with domestic and international terrorism.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Janet in Cranbrook, I believe it is. Janet, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. Hey, what I'd like to say is from the moment I first actually saw a picture of the younger brother, what it brought to me was that here was a lost child, and there are a lot of lost children out there that for one reason or another are being led to heinous acts in order to make themselves fit in or try to make some sort of statement in the world. And I think maybe this is showing his vulnerability, and maybe people don't want to see that because they don't want to see him as a human. But he's a human being who had, for his own reasons, did what he had to do.
Jeff, what about what Janet is saying? She approves of the cover.
Yeah, I mean it's that kind of picture. It does bring us a little bit of introspection. Look, it's like you're looking deep into his eyes, really. And everybody's going to see what they want to see in some ways, but the photograph is going to make us think. And that's and I think the knee jerk response of it's a glamour picture, they're glamorizing him, is a little too quick. And a little more thought about it and say, really, what is this guy about? What does it mean? What does he mean for us?
Janet, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it. Jeff, Robert Morris University journalism professor Anthony Moretti says if it had been Time magazine or the New York Times, there would not have been a controversy. What do you think?
That's good. That's a good question. I don't know. That's a good question. I kind of doubt it. I think it's a picture that pushes your buttons. I think no matter where it is, it's just something you just didn't expect. You know, a picture like this of the guy, and it just it does. I think it would have been no matter what controversial or gotten people talking about it. Now the pictures that have come out overnight with the laser dot on his forehead, you know, where you can see they've got him in the scopes with the blood. Those pictures are going to push your buttons too. So we'll wait and see what the reaction is going to be to the total scope and of what's going on and what's going to happen next. We don't even know yet.
Janet, our last caller, mentioned this visceral reaction that she had to seeing the younger Tsarnaev brother on the cover, Jakar, and she saw him as a lost child and representative of others who have made bad turns in their lives and gone down this dark road that this young man has. On the other hand, Tsarnaev has a following of teenaged girls. Might this kind of a cover inspire or encourage young men who are mentally unstable to try to copy what he's done, to say, hey, he ended up on the cover of Rolling Stone, count me in?
It could. And that's where, you know, parents have to talk to their kids They have to look and see what they're looking at on the computer. They have to read their Facebook comments, even check out their phones, and keep tabs on what's going on and to understand it. It definitely could happen. And there's nothing that you can't stop it, but we should all be aware of that possibility. I agree completely.
One last question for you, Jeff, and that is a number of stores, as we've mentioned, including Giant Eagle, CVS, Walgreens, are boycotting this edition of Rolling Stone. They are refusing to sell it from their stores, this August issue, which in fact does come out today. What about the idea of store owners being gatekeepers, and instead of letting customers decide for themselves whether it's appropriate to purchase the magazine or not, taking the decision essentially out of the hands of people?
Yeah, I think it's their choice. You know, I don't think it's a particularly good choice. I think they're better off letting the marketplace reign. That's what they are. They're in capitalism. They're in the marketplace. Let people have their choice of what's going on. You know, are they going to look in every magazine on the rack, Giant Eagle, to see if there's anything offensive to somebody? Is somebody else going to say, if you're not selling that, why are you selling this? They have tattoo magazines. Somebody's going to be offended by something like that in Giant Eagle. So I think it's probably better for these organizations to stay clear of trying to identify with one view or another, unless they are, you know, think it's 100% the best idea. Leaving the marketplace open is probably better. But it's their choice, and they want to identify with the viewpoint. It's strictly a marketplace decision for them, I think, too.
Jeff Ritter has been our guest. He is chair of La Roche College's Department of Communication, Media, and Technology. Jeff, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
So long. Coming up, can Pittsburgh double for Brooklyn on the big screen? City Paper movie critic Al Hoff previews A New York Heartbeat and other films at a theater near you. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.